March 8th, 2024. A date that will live in infamy. The San Jose Sharks have traded Tomas Hertl to the Vegas Golden Knights. Welcome to the Fin Factor. I'm Paul.
I'm Aaron.
And this is a sad, sad day. Episode 203. 202? 203.
Three.
I don't know anymore. I don't care anymore.
Let's trade the show.
Paul's so up. That's... I'm clearly distraught. I'm in disarray. I'm discombobulated. I can't think of any more disses. Somebody in the chat had said, you know, did anybody else think that you were being punked when you heard the news that Hertl was going to Vegas?
I mean, I wasn't expecting that, obviously, but I was hoping that the Sharks would make some trades. And it's funny because the deadline's 12 p.m. Pacific, but there's always stuff that gets announced either like right at 12 or even a little after because the paperwork gets filed to the NHL and they take a while to go through it.
Yeah.
And when you're getting a bunch of trades coming at the deadline, you can't get it all done. And after the fiasco last year with Vegas,
yeah,
forgetting about the or not knowing about the no movement clause of,
how do you not know?
That
you knew you were just trying to sneak it through.
Yeah. Anyone with cap friendly would have known. So anyway, I think they've been doing their due diligence this year way more than they were before, and that kind of took a little bit while. But
yeah,
man. A lot came in there at the end.
Yeah, I know. That was the first domino, and then it was just like one after another, after mm-hmm. another, after another. And even with Duclair, when Duclair got traded, because we didn't even put that one down, but like, okay, so Duclair gets traded like yesterday, and it was okay, you know, that's...
Seems like a month ago now.
I know, right? Like it's just a lot of trauma.
That's right, yeah.
But yeah, so that trade went down. I was like, okay, you know, we kind of figured, you know, and we hadn't heard anything else, and we're thinking... Is anything else going to happen here? Like, again, we got, like, no more days. It's hours at this point, right? So yeah. It's just kind of like, when is the last domino going to fall? And or the next one, at least.
Right.
And holy, it just kind of all came tumbling down all at once. Now, today, actually, we were at Solar for America Ice, which is where the Sharks practice. And not we, but we as in my family, my boys, we were there for a tournament, 10UA, 10UBB, that's what they play. Mm-hmm. And so we were there already. And so as this is going on, all the kids are freaking out, like, Hurdles got traded, and oh my God, and there's one guy after another, the names start popping up, and everybody's just kind of like, what is going on, you know? And it was just funny because, like, all these teams that are all coming there for these youth playoffs and all these parents, everybody's just going, what is the deal? You know, so it was a whirlwind of emotion today with the trades, with the kids' playoff games, which they did really well, by the way, and just, you know, again, one thing after another. And yes, I did. I felt like there's no possible way they got this right. There's no possible way that they got this right, that Tomas Hertl was Tomas Hertl was traded to the Vegas Golden Knights. Are you kidding me? He's gonna have to wear that ugly gold bucket.
And it's not like Hurdle's a rental player. Like,
no,
where he'll be gone after this season. He's got six more years?
6 years left on the contract. And you know, let's just start. We'll get into it in a second. But let's go ahead and go into the terms of the trade.
Sure.
Okay. So, first of all, I think we have there you go, the thank you graphic, Super Edition Jason. Thank you for putting that up there for us. I know. He's so good. We've got a picture of him young, and it's just going to make me cry. But so there is
baby
the trade details. So David Edstrom, who is I think, 18-year-old forward centerman who is playing currently in the SHL, that is Swedish, the Swedish top league.
Swiss or Swedish?
Swedish. The top league in Sweden.
Swedish flute.
So there's that. Okay, him. Great. And by all accounts, he sounds like a really solid player.
Two-way center.
A two-way center. Yeah. He's defensively responsible, mm-hmm. but he's very much a playmaking type as well. So it almost felt like... Everything. Logan Couture light? I don't know. Like
that's what I was thinking.
Swedish Couture.
But not. I don't think he's offensively talented as Couture. like less offense than Couture has.
He's 18.
But
so.
I mean, no. Like his potential wouldn't be Couture. Couture's potential was like 70 points was like a really good season for him.
Sure.
I think this guy will, he won't get that much, but for sure a good shutdown kind of two-way defenseman or centerman.
Yeah.
Pretty much everything that Quinn wants right now on the team because there aren't that many forwards that are doing so well defensively. But should be a good third line center. We're starting to see the pieces kind of fall together for the future of the Sharks.
Absolutely. And you know, when I first heard this trade, right, again, I was going, man, there's no way. But I saw, now this was the screw up. It said Hurdle gets moved with salary retained. We'll get to that in a second. But so Hurdle gets moved and coming back was Edstrom, the first, and 2/3. And even then I'm thinking, I don't know if I really like that. Because again, I have reasons, which I'll go into in a second, but I wasn't sure that I really liked that deal. And then I heard that no, they screwed that one up, probably because it doesn't make sense the other way around. We sent Hurdle and 2/3 to them and got a first and Edstrom. And my head, and there's the trade details again. So this is what's actually went down. And originally when they said this, the 2/3 were on the other side of that equation, and I was still not overly enthusiastic about it.
Yep.
I don't like this very much at all. There's only one like reason I think that, okay, I can see it making sense, and it's if you look at Tomáš Hurdle as an expiring asset, right? He's 30 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He has 6 years left on his contract.
And not the best of knees these days.
Fair enough, but as you had said last show, it's not a big deal. It's just orthoscopic. They're just cleaning it out. He'll be back this season.
And if he was on a playoff team, he would be. And guess
Absolutely.
What? He's now on a playoff team. And what is Vegas doing that I swear the NHL is going to put a stop to this?
Circumvention.
Both Stone and Hurdle on the IR that are going to come back miraculously, perfectly ready to go by game one of the playoffs when the salary cap no longer matters. I think the league, I mean, even on, I think it was NHL Network, Mike Johnson was on there, and he was just laughing, going, of course Vegas did this. Of course he's going to be back for playoffs. So everyone knows. Everyone knows. Like, it's shady, but it's not illegal.
It's not illegal. It's not. So they can do this, and it's okay.
It's a loophole that I think is going to get fixed sooner than later, especially if Vegas does win a cup again this year. I think for sure the other GMs and the other owners are going to be a little pissed about it.
Yeah.
Rightfully so. I think it's a little shady.
It is. It's a little shady. But again, it's legal. They are...
I'm just bitter because it's Vegas.
Well, that's part of it too. But it's in the like video gaming community. This is what we would call a creative use of in-game mechanics.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So it's not cheating. It's not like... Right. You know, it's not hacking.
Right.
It's not that. It's like finding something that you can exploit that is not illegal or outside the bounds of the game.
You know, it's funny.
In this case, the trades.
In fantasy hockey, the same thing. You could put a guy on IR, and then in real life, they have to be on real life IR. When they come off of it in real life, you don't have to pull them off, and so you can kind of stash them in kind of the same way.
Yeah.
And we've been doing it for years that way. So.
So it's you to blame.
Yeah, I guess. It mimics real life, so I don't know who's really to blame.
Okay.
It's circular.
Fair enough.
Yeah,
fair enough. Okay, so I guess let me go through some of my thoughts on this. Why'd you do that?
Oh,
why'd you put
geez.
Him up there? Look how cute he is, huh? You want to pinch those cheeks.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, my goodness.
I remember being at that 4-goal game. I was there for that. And when it happened... I mean, at that point, it was a blowout already with the Rangers.
Yeah.
When it happened, everyone was kind of like, how did that go in? And then they showed the replay on the big screen.
And everyone
and there was a much bigger reaction putting that puck through his legs. Oh, my God. He's such a
look
baby
at
face
I swear,
there.
Man.
And then doing the off-ice interview, fun must be always. His English was so bad.
Yep.
It was so great. I'm not saying it in a bad way.
Yeah.
It was, like, cute and awesome. And, oh, my God, this is hard. This is really...
It really
is. We're looking at pictures right now for the podcast, people.
And I don't... Again, I don't like the idea that, he's 30 years old, he's an expiring player, right? He's a player that's declining.
He can still play.
He can absolutely still play. There's plenty of players that are currently in the NHL and that are over 30 years of age and are still killing it, right? So here's my problem with this. We did not have to move Tomáš Hertl, okay? He wasn't a one-year left UFA. You're going to lose him for nothing. Get what you can. This was not the case with Tomáš Hertl, okay? What I would have rather seen happen is if you do want to trade the guy with years left on his contract, fine. Can we wait until a year where maybe he's playing with a little bit better players, like young studs that maybe help his numbers, a year where he's not out and injured, a year where he doesn't have orthoscopic surgery or whatever to clean that stuff out and then be out for a little while? Maybe could we have thought of a better way that we could have just waited one more year to get a maybe a better return than this?
There's a risk in that. And what if he doesn't? You're selling at the peak right now, in my opinion, of Hertl. That six-year contract, I don't think the Sharks were shopping him. I think Vegas came to them because there's an opportunity for Vegas to get somebody that's on IR that's going to be good. Now Vegas is screwed for salary cap reasons this summer. They have to figure it out. They're going to dump somebody. I wouldn't be surprised if Hertl is not on Vegas the whole 6 years. I'm not saying they're going to dump him this summer, but somebody's going to get dumped like Marc-Andre Fleury was, like a piece of trash, because that's how Vegas treats their players. They just trade him for future considerations.
Who was it that got traded but they couldn't get traded because he had the no-move clause that they didn't know about?
Right.
What was the guy's name?
I can't even remember.
Dadonov. Evgeny Dadonov.
Dadonov, yeah, exactly. Something like that's going to happen. But they also, they traded a guy who was on his bachelor party, I think. There's another guy who had a no movement clause that was starting the next day, and they traded him the day before that kicked in. Like, they're just ruthless. So I'm not going to be surprised if he's not playing for Vegas.
And I'll get back to Hertl in a second, but man, this, you talk about Anthony Duclair and what he said, that he was happy to get traded or whatever, but that he would absolutely 100% entertain coming back to San Jose. Dude, that's why.
He's on a one-year deal, right? Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying.
That's why.
Absolutely.
He's not. Vegas treats their guys like trash, as you just said. The Sharks, you've got players who are like, we are last, second to last or last in the league. Throughout the entire season, we bounce between those two positions, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to come back next season. Why would any player, especially Duclair, who's, you know, prime of his career and age-wise or whatever, right? Why would he want to come back to San Jose? They treat him right. That's why. And you look at the way Vegas treats their players.
Let's,
I don't know.
Let's put it this way. Where do you think Hertl will live when he retires?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Look how many former players are here. Even after they didn't retire as a Shark, you know what I mean? Like, they moved on to other teams. They still came back. Still came back.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, you know.
Someone asked, though, they can't play the clip anymore. Can't do it.
So, okay. So, again, the thing for me was, again, the 6 years. Here's what I don't like about it, okay? I don't like that, though he's, you know, a declining asset, if we're supposed to return to being a bubble playoff team, right, in 2 to 3 years, all right, which I think is totally doable, right, because we've got a lot of young guys that are going to be on their way up in a couple years. They could be really contributing to this team. That would be excellent, right? My problem is you traded him to the Vegas Golden Knights, who are in the Pacific Division, who, if you are a bubble team, you're probably going to be playing them, and now you have to play against Tomáš Hertl. Now, okay, he's declining asset, so whatever, who cares? I still I don't like the idea that we just made them stronger during the year span where we are supposed to be competing for playoffs. I don't like that, number one. Number two, I don't like that we retained salary for 6 seasons, giving them cap space to add more players to beat us when we make ready for playoffs.
That might have been necessity to get that first-round pick, which is probably what the most important part of that deal was for Mike Greer. Because, as he said, and we'll get to that
just saying what I don't like
in his own words, is the Sharks now have two first-round picks this year and next year, and possibly one this year and three next year, depending on Pittsburgh, if they want to keep that, because it's top 10 protected. Now, if that happens, Pittsburgh's pick next, if they push it to next season, it is not top 10 protected. Pittsburgh is not in a playoff spot. It doesn't look like they're going to be. Mm-hmm. They might even be in the top 10 for a draft pick. next year, that team is not really getting better. They just traded away Gensel today. They're number one guy. So they're kind of in a rebuild mode. And they traded a bunch of, actually, they got like a bunch of picks and prospects too. Kind of, they were sellers. Now, Vegas is also not unprotected. I don't know if Vegas could have a monumental collapse next season, but I can't say it won't happen. You don't know. Like, what if Stone is completely done and doesn't come back? What if, you know, there's a lot of what ifs. Things could happen. They got to move some people around anyway next season because of their salary cap. But my point is the Sharks are going to have some really good players. And who knows what happens in the offseason. There could be some more movement. Couture was one of them that was talked about at least to get moved. And if he was healthy and didn't have a bad season, I wouldn't be surprised if he would have been moved at the deadline as well.
Yeah, I think he said something about he's realistic that nobody wants an aging centerman with years left on his deal who's played like 5 games in this season. Like he's realistic about his chances of getting traded this season, right? Which were basically none. So it would have been nice for him to kind of jump back in, get himself going again, show everybody like, hey, I was injured, but I'm back. And then potentially get moved, right? But with him getting injured again or just going back out, obviously no team is going to be willing to throw their hat in for that one. And if they did, the return for him would be peanuts, you know?
Yeah.
Because because of uncertainty, you know? So I've said a little bit about my thoughts on the Hurdle trade. Okay. A couple things. One, I do want to get to a lot of these comments. I know people are saying stuff, but
flying by.
There's another side of this table, and I want you to be able to say what you got to say. So.
I think right now Hurdle's value is never going to be higher than it is now. You said you wanted to see him play and get some stats. He's already had history of his stats being really high, so I don't think it would, even if with better teammates and the younger guys up and coming, I don't see him getting that back to where he was, I don't know, 3-4 years ago, whatever. I think this was the highest his value is going to be. He had a great year this year for the Sharks when he was healthy, better than last year. Last year was kind of a down year. 2 years ago was a fantastic year, so he kind of got back to that level that he was 2 years ago. Again, puts his value higher. He's got knee problems. He's had knee problems ever since Dustin Brown. But he that we shall not name, but I just did.
Dustin Brown.
I think that really kind of messed him up, and the orthoscopic thing I think is related to that injury, just cleaning it out and getting him back on the ice again. But I think the value for Hurdle was never higher. I think the retention, it sucks that they had to retain salary because it does help Vegas. I'm happy. Edstrom sounds like he's going to be a pretty good, legit third line center for the Sharks. Now, if you think about it, let's think 2-3 seasons down the road right now. You got Will Smith, who's probably going to be the number one center. Eklund could play two. I don't know. They might put him on the wing.
I'd rather him on the wing, yeah.
But he could be the two-line center, second-line center.
Besides, where do you put Celebrini?
Right. I'll get to that in a second. I'm just talking about right now, currently have.
Right now, yeah.
They have now Edstrom,
yep.
Third-line center. Bisted, who's going to be... probably could be a third line center, but as a fourth line center, and that man is huge and fast as your fourth line center, that's going to be scary. Down the middle, looks like it's going to be set.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, they could get Celebrini. It could only get better, I think. I don't think they're going to lose people. Couture's probably going to be gone. Granlund's going to be gone. All the guys that are there right now are just kind of holding in a holding pattern until the young guys
next
are up and coming,
to
right?
Get traded, yeah.
Think about when Hurdle was coming up in the league. He wasn't the first line center until maybe 2 years ago, 3 years ago, at best.
Yeah, yeah.
Couture was always, well, Pavelski, Thornton, Marlowe, then Couture, then Hurdle. Hurdle played a lot of wing. I think that's what we're going to see now with these young guys is they're going to slowly take over and take over those positions. But the center position, which is probably one of the more important ones forward position-wise, looks like it's getting to be pretty set. Which gets me a little bit more excited about it. Now, we still have some wingers that are up and coming. Musty, I'm so excited about.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever they draft this year, it's probably going to be top 3 pick. If it's not Celebrini, it could be somebody else. Who knows? There's still some really good players. Then we have Pittsburgh's pick, possibly, most likely this season. Mm-hmm. Then next season, we're going to have another two first-round picks. Two really good players. Probably one of those this year or next year is going to be a defenseman stud that you need, that blue-chip prospect that they're kind of missing right now, that they're lacking. We did get a couple. We'll get into this in a little bit. But I don't love the trade, but I understand the trade. And I also understand that there's market prices for what teams would pay for.
Yeah.
And I don't see any other team able to take on Hurdle's contract like that. Even though there was retention, other teams probably would have needed a lot more retention to make it work.
Yeah, I guess for me, the thought was just don't even trade the guy, to be honest. What if it was last year? Oh, he's 29. He's on the decline because next year he'll be 30. At what point do you say, okay, you know what? Let's just keep the guy for another year. Because like last year, they kept him for another year. Last year, were the Sharks any better, really, than this year?
It's more of the term of the contract being 6 years long. More.
Sure.
6 more years. That's the scary part. If it was 3 years, I think more teams would have been interested in
him. Yeah, absolutely.
But because it was 6, it really limits a lot of teams.
But my point is, it limits a lot of teams. You didn't need to trade him in the first place. What's the difference? 5 years left instead of 6 years left. You telling me at 31 he's drastically worse than at 30? I don't know. I don't know if I buy that. And I feel like we had to give 2/3 to get the first to get Edstrom and retain. I feel like that's a lot, you know? I think if the next season, 5 years left, yes, he's 31, but at 5 years left and you show that, hey, his knee's fine, he's playing, he's good. Assuming that that's what's going to be the case.
That third round pick, it's one next year, not this upcoming draft. Yeah,
2025 and 2027.
Right.
So, and I get that in 2027, it's so far out, who cares? You're going to get that back in another trade or somewhere,
exactly.
Anywhere. So
exactly.
Who cares, right?
Yeah.
I get that. But it is still an asset that you have to trade to get back. So you are making it's not free, is my point.
It's asset management.
Absolutely.
And I am confident that down the road, Greer is going to be, there's going to be more pieces next year, mm-hmm. and even this offseason that are going to get traded, they're going to recoup those assets back.
I'm sure they will. I'm sure they will.
If you could trade two future third round picks for a first round pick for today, or next season, I guess, because it's not for this upcoming draft, but the one after, to me, I think it's worth it because you have so many assets that you're still going to be selling that you're going to recoup them. If that was the price to get a first-round pick out of Vegas unprotected, who knows what could happen?
I don't think that Vegas would straight up do the first for 2/3. I think the other players...
I'm saying they're probably like, we'll give you a second-round pick unless you give us some more, or a third-round pick unless you give us some more, and they'll say, okay, let's kick in some more draft picks coming your way with Hurdle so that we can get that first round. What's it going to take to get that first-round pick?
Sure.
what was it? Anthony just said, Aaron, you're putting a lot of hope on draft pick selections. History has shown Sharks do not draft well and develop. However, there is a completely new regime in the last 2 years, and from what they've done in the last 2 seasons, I think it's hard to say 2 seasons ago, 2 drafts ago, because Greer was hired 2 days before the draft. He didn't really have a hand in all that.
Yeah, and Anthony, I think, and correct me if you think I'm wrong, but I think Anthony's thinking about the ones from the Doug Wilson era, which was, there was a like Goldobin,
right,
and Mirko Mueller.
Right.
Right, those types of guys. Anthony, if those are the guys you're thinking of, I 100% agree with you. Those were not good picks, right? But again, I mean, we take a look at some of the guys that we've brought, like Eklund is, of course, a perfect example of this, right? He was kind of the last draft pick from a Wilson, right? It was mm-hmm. Doug Jr. picked him, right? So I think Eklund has certainly panned out well. Now it's a matter of, do they have the development people in place? And this season, as well as last season, with Greer coming in, he bolstered the development group.
Absolutely.
More than anything else.
Yep.
So if there is a point in time on the Sharks franchise where development has had more focus than previously, it is right now. So hopefully that bodes well for the guys that are coming in, that they've got a good, solid developmental core helping them get through and become NHL-caliber players and not just kind of waft around like the other two guys that I had mentioned previously. But yeah, Anthony, I 100% understand your concern, but I have to agree with Aaron here. I think with the new regime and the focus that they've put on development so far, that they're probably going to be in good hands, and I think the franchise will be in good hands with those younger players for years to come.
Let's do our roll call question now that we're here. So, roll call, tell us where you're watching from and how are you? How are you doing today?
Emotionally, how are you, guys?
Welcome to therapy.
This is what we're here for, right? We're here.
Sharks therapy. All right. Want to go to the next trade? Next, I guess, big trade?
I guess it's, yeah. Well, okay. Declare trade. Did we even write that one in here? Because that happened yesterday.
Yeah, it's down here.
Okay. Should you want to talk about that one first, or do you want to go with what?
No, let's go in order because Jason's
My bad.
Pissy now.
My bad.
New Jersey Devils. The Sharks traded the New Jersey Devils. Of course they did.
Yeah.
For Kaapo Kähkönen is going to be a New Jersey Devil. This is interesting because they also traded, I believe, for Allen out of Montreal. If I'm not mixing up my teams here, so they have two new goalies coming in, which is crazy because. Wow. Their goaltending has been horrendous. Vanecek was a good goalie last season. He had an incredible year with New Jersey. He was good, and then Schmid also came in. Both of them this year were just, I don't know what happened, dumpster fire. Dougie Hamilton's been out, their main defenseman. That was a big part of it. But Vanecek will not play for this season. He's on IR, and he's not going to come back. So he will be around because his contract is
He's got one more year. It was three-year contract. He's got one more year.
Okay, left, yeah. So he's got one more year left. So now our goaltenders look like...
I want to say $3.4 million, by the way, but go ahead.
We got Blackwood and Vanecek, two former New Jersey goalies going into next season.
I hope they both totally pan out next season and just complete studs, lock it down.
Well, Blackwood's been playing pretty good on a very bad team. But, yeah, Blackwood and Vanecek, the goalies, that's going to be about, looks like... Was that $5.7 million towards goaltending? That's not bad.
Not at all.
Compared to other teams. But we'll see. Maybe those two guys could also get flipped next season for maybe a third-round pick, would you say?
What?
Next season we can flip them for get those third-round picks back.
No.
Just giving you some grief there.
Thanks.
Anyway, so Kaapo Kähkönen and Kaapo Kähkönen goes to New Jersey, New Jersey sends Vanecek and a 2025 seventh-round draft pick. There's a lot of seventh-round draft picks that were traded today in multiple different years, so it's kind of funny. But, I don't mind this. It's kind of a reclamation project once again coming out of New Jersey, which Mike Greer had a lot of ties with the front office in New Jersey, so it makes sense. Again, going back to the Doug Wilson interview that we had years ago.
Yeah.
I kind of like asked him the question, like, how does a trade get started? And just kind of run us through this. And he basically told us, like, it's like a good old boys club. It's a lot of guys played with each other. A lot of the GMs have played with each other. Yeah. They know each other. They talk to each other a lot. So, of course, Greer having his ties with New Jersey and even New York Rangers is another one. So it makes sense. What are you it's giggling funny like a schoolgirl over here?
I just lots of comments on the screen. I love watching it, seeing the comments coming in. but yeah, it is like you said. It's kind of that good old boys club. They kind of like have all known each other for quite some time, and it's just something that they kind of go back and forth with each other on these things. And I think Doug Wilson said it best. It's not you trying to win the trade. It's not you trying to get one over on the other guy so much as you're trying to find common ground with someone else where you can make a trade that's going to work for both parties, right? And sometimes it seems like one guy is getting fleeced over the other, but you still have leverage in these trades, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you know that this guy is 1 year left on his contract, well, they have to get rid of him. If I don't really need that player and there's four other ones just like him somewhere else, well, then yeah, you're probably not going to get what he's actually worth. You're going to get what he's worth in that moment, which isn't as much because I can go somewhere else, right? Capitalism at its finest. But yeah, it's... I think in terms of the Kähkönen trade here, we all thought Kähkönen was moving anyway, right? So this one isn't a big surprise, and it's certainly not a gut punch, as someone else had said, how they were feeling. As I was looking at the feelings that were coming in, somebody said they felt gut punched. This one to me wasn't a gut punch, right? This was we saw this one coming, right? We saw the Duclair trade coming. Some of the other ones maybe we didn't really, it just kind of came out of left field.
Yeah.
But for me, this one, seeing Kapo go wasn't a big deal. I was okay with it. And getting Vitek Vanacek in return, if you take a look at last season, his last season he had like a 3.18 goals against average and an .890 save percentage. So not the greatest.
That's
right?
This season.
That was this right. season. Yeah. But now the three previous seasons, all three of them, he had a goals against average under 2.7 and a save percentage over .908. So this could have very well been a goalie stats that reflect the team stats.
It's amazing when you take away your top defenseman for the year. What happens?
That's all I'm saying. And again, I've said it since, like, I don't know, day one on this show, where it's like, yeah, we take a look at goalie stats and go, oh, this guy sucks. And it's like, really? Or is it that there's nobody playing defense in front of him and he sucks? But, like, that's what I'm getting at. So, like, with Vanacek, I'm not overly concerned with the numbers from this season, especially because he's injured. He'll get better. He'll come back. And then we can assess, right? And if he does okay, like you said, we could flip him for a third or two. But I think this could be a good trade for the Sharks for next season. Again, it takes a good goalie out of the rotation.
Yep.
It helps us lose games this season. We have a goalie that we can plug in that might be just as good as Blackwood. We don't know, right? I mean, they moved Blackwood before they moved Vanacek, right? Mm-hmm. So for them, they had a reason for doing that. So if Blackwood is doing okay, maybe Vanacek comes in next season and plays okay too. Who knows, right? But this could be a nice 1-2 punching goal for next season. For this season, Blackwood's out right now. Kakinen's been shipped out. Vanacek is IR. So we're going to lose more games, folks.
Yeah.
we're going down, baby. So
we have more first-round picks
coming. Yeah. Absolutely.
In the following season.
I'm 100% cool with that. So, yeah.
The Zamboni driver.
What's his name again? The Zamboni driver that beat Toronto.
I just posted E-Bug. That the other day.
Yeah, the E-Bug. I forget his name.
You know he was 42 when he did that?
That's so
amazing. I just sent that to my buddies today, and I go, there's still hope, boys.
Hey, I'm 42.
We can
42.
Still get our first NHL win here.
Anyway, so that's really all there was on the Kapo Kakinen trade, I think. Yeah, are you good with that one?
Yeah, I mean, I thought we were leaving too at some point. I didn't know where he was going to go, but New Jersey totally makes
sense. Were you okay with the return? Is this what you were expecting as far as a return?
For Kakinen?
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting much, I guess. And I wasn't sure if they were going to get a better draft pick only or what. And then the debate is, what's he worth, really? Because he's a rental player. So to get Kakinen, you're getting a 7th-round pick and a player that's signed next year, a goalie that could be decent and a good reclamation project, I don't mind it.
I like it. I think it's more than fair, 100%. Yeah, I do like it. Because I think, if anything, if you like Vanacek, now if you're just taking a goalie back for no reason, whatever, but if you like Vanacek, the fact that you've got him locked up for another season and they gave you the 7th.
Right.
As opposed to the other way around, which is only a 7th, really. Like, who cares? But, like, at the same time...
Hey, Joe Will likes a 7th round.
He does. But my point is, they are adding value
coming
the other way, right? Now, granted, he's injured, but the Sharks aren't exactly looking for stellar goaltending right now, so it's okay.
David Ayers is the Zamboni driver.
There you go.
Thank you.
Mountain Goat.
Who was that? Mountain Goat. All right, you want to blow through these?
Well, go through some of these comments. Yeah. This is a therapy session after all. We want to see.
There's a good one here from Andy Mann, who's the Mog, half Andy man, Mann half dog. Friedman had this quote earlier. Apparently, Vegas inquired about Hurdle a few months ago, and when it was clear Hurdle would be able to come back this season, Vegas got serious and worked out a deal. So it was Vegas coming after the Sharks about Hurdle, not shopping around Hurdle in a way.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, just clarifying that a little bit. But thanks for that. Yeah, was it Andy? Andy Man.
Friedman.
Yeah. All right. So on to the next one.
Actually, before we do that, guys, I appreciate everybody in the chat, by the way. So there's one thing I would like you guys to do. If you can, share, repost, retweet, whatever. Get this out to your Sharks friends and family. Let them know that we are currently live. And if they're not joining us, why not? They should be in the chat there with you, getting the same high-quality therapy that Aaron and I offer. Super Producer Jason killing it with the button pressing the clowns and that kind of thing. So please, or the crying emojis. Apparently we have those now. Great. Yeah, so obviously, yeah, what I'm saying, get them in here with you guys. If you're enjoying it, I'm sure they'll enjoy it too. And if you are getting something out of this session, please find the thumbs up button and click that. It's the like button. Certainly does help the algorithm get us out there to everybody else. Also, if you'd like to support the show, you can do that a number of ways. One, the Super Chat function. You can go ahead and use that, as well as Venmo at The Fin Factor. Either one of those, you put a comment in there, it will guarantee that we will read it out live during the show, and if the show is over, we can do it on the next show, no problem. You can also support the show by going to thefinfactor.com, checking out any of the things that we have for sale there. Hats, shirts, water bottles, nailed it, stickers. We don't sell toasters, but you can put the sticker on the toaster. It makes it look really nice, like this one. There you go. So we have lots of things there, and it does, again, help support the show in all its glory. Aaron, go ahead and read off a few more of these comments, maybe, or we can just move on to the next trade, whatever you like.
Anthony's got a question here. Honestly, how does Greer convince Hasso this is the correct direction? Just look at how many empty SAP... Look how empty SAP is, and I'm sure Hasso's pocketbook is taking a huge hit. I don't think Hasso, not that he doesn't care, but I think just based on everything that I've heard from him, he has this Sharks team as a hobby, really. I mean, most owners, they're hobbies. They're not really like super invested. There's not, for every Mark Cuban out there who's heavily invested in at every game and sitting in sideline, there's more owners that are just, I own a sports team and I like to brag about with my rich friends that I own this sports team and we've won X amount of championships, blah, blah, blah. They don't really
He's
care.
He's not bragging about that right
his
now.
His everyday... His, allegedly. But they're not money makers. It's an investment.
Yeah.
The whole point of sports teams is not to make money, not to break even or even make money. It's an investment where you bought it for $100 million and when you're done with it, when you're done with your toy and you want to sell it, it's now worth $1.5 billion because you've invested money into it. You've helped the infrastructure, the arenas, you upgraded stuff. You've done all kinds of things. So, no, I don't really think that Hasso cares. He's not as invested. He's not a Mark Cuban-type owner. So you're not going to see him. You're not going to hear from him because he is very busy running what SAP, I think is what he owns or he's the CEO of. So he's just a very busy person. Anyway, I'm not trying to knock what you're saying here. I understand what you're saying. But I think Mike Greer sat down when he was hired. They went through a bunch of GMs and they said, what's your plan to fix this? What's your plan to fix this? Mike Greer had a plan and they liked that plan. So I don't think this is kind of blindsiding Hasso Plattner at all. I think he knows long term what the goals are and how he's doing it. So I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Yeah, I think just like Greer knows what his path is and that his path is going to involve a lot of pain, right? And we'll have a clip from Greer later on in the show. I don't want to try to do it now because Super Juice Jason will get mad. But essentially, okay. I think that the Sharks fans get it. They get that there's going to be some pain before we get better, right? And there's no way that Greer, just like you said, blindsides Hasso with a rebuild. Oh my gosh, we're rebuilding? There's nobody in the seats. Greer obviously comes up to him and says, look, we're going to go through a few years where there's nobody in the seats. Understand that. But if you want butts in seats, this is what we got to do. We got to go through this painful point so that we can get to the point where we're drafting good, solid young players, right? Not flops, not guys that are going to be 29th overall that may as well be 50th overall that you're really rolling the dice on, right? Guys that are at the top of their leagues, right? These are the types of guys that we're going to bring in, solid, that we can't miss. You can't go wrong with a top three guy, right? So it's going to be a painful process, but in order to get there, this is what we have to go through. And I'm sure that Hasso knows and understands that in the years right now, we've got nobody in the seats. It's a precursor to hopefully some glory days, something that he can then brag about, saying, look how many championships we've won because we went through this painful process and I okayed it. And man, what a good decision that was. And now I'm going to sell it for $1.5 billion or whatever, right?
Yeah. Let's put it this way. If the Sharks land Celebrini and he's playing next season along with Will Smith and Musty, how many season tickets are going to be sold for that?
there will be butts in seats.
Right?
Yes.
I think so. Look at Chicago with Bedard, right? Absolutely. And when Bedard got hurt for that 4 to 6 weeks, it was empty. It was a shell because he sells tickets. That's the Sharks are tanking to get that next superstar player on their team that will sell tickets.
Number one jersey sales.
Hurdle was that player, but not anymore.
You had to bring Hurdle up again,
didn't you? No, I'm just saying, like, because people are upset that Hurdle was traded, and Anthony Sanchez is very angry and thinks that they need a new owner because of it. And I'm not. I understand your point. I'm not saying it's wrong either. I have a different viewpoint on it. So I think it's time for the next generation of talent to come in and to get that cupboard stocked full of prospects that can push those players that are in positions already in the NHL to be better. And even the all-star players or the superstar players that are going to come in, same thing. You have players behind them that are going to push them. It's a complete rebuild. Greer's come in and has to put his own mark on this team and change it how he wants to do it.
Yeah.
It's nobody wants to see the sausage being made, right? They just want to eat it.
Something we've used many times on this show, and it does work. I like that. Thank you for bringing that board here. So, okay, so we're talking about the Anthony Duclair trade now, correct? Okay, so there you go. Thank you, Anthony Duclair, for your many, 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 many years of service with the San Jose Sharks.
Hey, he had a job and he did it well.
He had a job and he did it. Okay, did it okay.
I mean, he didn't just come in here and say, I'm ready to get out of here.
Yeah.
He invested. He was working in the community. He was doing a lot of stuff.
Absolutely. And again, to his credit, he said, I would not mind coming back.
Right.
So here are the trade details that we got on the screen right now. Okay. Yeah. So it's Anthony Duclair going to the Tampa Bay Lightning with the Sharks 2025 seventh round selection, something we will miss dearly. And then
which we already recouped.
The defenseman Jack Thompson, along with the Lightning's 2024 third round selection, coming back to San Jose. So we're happy with this one. There you go. Welcome, Jack Thompson. Jack is a 21-year-old, 6'1", 185-pound right-handed shooting blue liner. He led the Syracuse Crunch on the blue line, all blue liners on that team in points. So he's one of these guys that I was looking at the elite prospects for just something quick on him, and it said he's aggressive in the offensive zone, but he's essentially what it boils down to in the defensive zone is he shies away from contact and he's all stick. So he likes to kind of keep his distance, not be too physical, and just kind of like poke check and rely on that. Yeah, exactly. Okay. And that's unfortunately the exact same way my son plays, and it makes me angry. Got to get your body in there, kid. You know, they're going to teach him, though. They're going to teach him the NHL level. You can't get away with just poke checks. These guys are far too crafty with the puck. Even like the lowest level fourth line, you know, he's got concrete hands. Right. Even that guy's going to be able to move the puck fairly well when it comes to stick handling, and certainly going to use his body to protect it and to punish you for trying to get it. So I don't know. I'm feeling like he's got the skill set offensively, but this could be a very watered down version of like an Erik Karlsson, where he uses his stick for everything, doesn't like using his body for anything. But when he's in the offensive zone, watch out, right?
He already had an assist tonight in his absolutely debut for the Cuda,
and that's awesome because it's like he didn't know the system. They probably just said, "Hey, kid, go play," you know.
So is this a Kalen Addison, a taller Kalen Addison, an offensive type?
Yeah,
minded.
Yeah, he's more offensively minded from everything I've seen about him so far.
Better than Kalen Anderson.
I would hope so. Okay. Well, I mean, maybe ceiling wise, we'll say that way.
Yeah,
maybe
ceiling wise. I didn't mean like he should be playing on the Sharks, but
I mean, currently he's in the AHL, and he was in the AHL again with the Syracuse Crunch. Kalen Addison, you could say what you want about the guy. Maybe you feel he belongs in the AHL, but currently he's an NHL defenseman. So. He's got that over Jack Thompson, at least.
Technically, I guess everybody on the Sharks is an NHL caliber player.
in a very technical sense, yes, I would agree with you there. But I don't know. I think he can pan out and be something good. I just hope he doesn't turn into like the Ryan Merkley, right? The guy that is okay at the AHL level offensively,
at least
but
he's got
just
the size.
Can't make it. Right?
He has the size.
He's big.
That's
boy.
Helpful.
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah.
Like, even if you're not, if you are just a stick checking type of defenseman, if you still have the size, I think that's going to go a longer way than if you didn't.
Yeah, and you know, if they pair him up with a very defensively minded guy, like, I don't know, Ochocek. We'll get to that in a minute. But anyway, yeah, if you pair him up with somebody that can help him out, right, and where you kind of got the yin and the yang that can balance each other out, I'm sure that works out okay for him. But, you know, it's interesting because the Sharks have quite a few guys now that are good defensive prospects, Henry Thrun being one of them now too, Mook Madulin. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, they shipped off Gavanke back to, what was it, Germany?
Yeah, I think they
he just wanted to go back.
They released his contract, yeah.
But that would have been another one there, too. But then, of course, this guy, Jack Thompson. So there's actually quite a few, not just new defensive talents, but offensively gifted defensive talents. And it seems like that's kind of what they're aiming for, which is interesting if you think about it, because Mike Greer's whole MO is to get these blue-collar guys in. Now, maybe this is just for the rebuild, right? Sell tickets, be hard to play against, protect the younger guys. Maybe after the rebuild is kind of on its way and those young guys are now NHL acclimated, maybe that blue collar style of play kind of shifts away a little bit and we start getting some more of the just the skill players coming in.
We'll have skill players.
Well, we'll
have them right now.
But I'm saying maybe he'll like deliberately pull in other guys that would match that better.
UFAs, you mean?
Yes. Free agents, that kind of thing, right? Although I still love the Justin Bailey types, and I would love to see them, you know, be a part of this team moving forward. I think once the younger guys are again more acclimated to the NHL, you're probably going to pair them up with guys that are like skilled, instead of just being good hard workers, which has been very entertaining, I think, so far this season, watching the hard workers do their thing. Again, guys like Justin Bailey and Mario Ferraro and certainly Nico Sturm have been my favorite players to watch outside of Eklund, who is all skill, all hard work still, though. You know, I mean, that guy just brings everything to the table.
I'm still liking Zetterlund. I mean, he still has his rookie mistakes. That's his Eklund, but, and I mean defensively, but it's exciting to watch the Lunds play together. The Lund line. Granlund, Eklund, Zetterlund.
I like that. Thompson, again, nice that he's right-handed shooting as well, right? Those are always kind of a little bit more coveted. So, I think a good trade, a good pickup for Mike Greer and the San Jose Sharks.
For a rental guy.
For a guy that's, for a rental guy who, and honestly, like, you take a look at, they got this guy who's an AHL defenseman. They got a seventh. They gave up a seventh and they got a third as well, right? Anthony Duclair is a pretty solid player. If Anthony Duclair says, you know what, I want to make good on that idea of coming back to the Sharks.
Back next season.
Can you imagine? Like, thank you for your defenseman. Thank
We've
you for
seen
your
it
third.
Before. Yeah.
You know, you helped us lose this season. Thank you very much. And we get the guy back.
Well, if they win a cup?
Yeah, that'd be great. Good for them.
And then he comes back. Same thing. I mean, whatever.
If they win a cup, he ain't coming back. He wants a repeat. Come
on.
We'll
see.
Maybe he'll sign a one-year contract and then come back after that.
Yeah.
One could hope. But anyway, so that's kind of all the details there on the Anthony Duclair trade. I don't know if we have anything in the comment section maybe that's worth pulling out for any of this stuff so far.
No, it's flying too fast.
No, going too fast.
Yeah.
Y'all need to slow it down just a bit. Man, can't read that fast. Okay, so you want to move on then?
Sure.
Okay,
let's
moving on.
One.
Moving on.
This one is the one that shocked me.
Okay, you fire away.
Detroit Red Wings traded for Radim Šimek, who has been playing in the AHL all season. He's been playing for the Barracuda. I did see him play when I saw a couple Barracuda games, and he was decent. He was good. I wouldn't say he was a big standout, but I thought he was solid. Now, coming back to the Sharks, this is interesting. I guess we sent off a seventh-round selection, seventh-round pick. It's so crazy, these seventh-round picks. What's the point? Just to say there's a pick.
So when you're doing the trade, because they always say you need to sweeten the deal.
Yeah, exactly. So. Yeah. Playing NHL, yeah. Klim Kostin. This guy is interesting to me because he was a first-round draft pick in 2017. He was the last pick in 2017, the 31st overall by St. Louis. However, he's already been traded twice now. This is kind of weird. So he got traded from St. Louis to Detroit and then Detroit to San Jose. I'm sorry, he was on Edmonton. third team. So he was on St. Louis, Edmonton, then Detroit, now the Sharks. So this is his fourth team since he's been drafted and not that long ago. Big boy, though. 6'4", 212 pounds. And he is, I think, a fourth-line grinder. So I think we're going to see him throwing his body around on the fourth line, and I'm excited to watch him because that is a large man. Kind of like another Justin Bailey, right?
Well, yeah. He's a big human being. Apparently, the book on him is that he's just slow. Like, I was looking through on X, Twitter. I was looking through there, and a lot of the Detroit fans were saying, good. Like, he's gone, right? So, again, big red flag for me, but again, this is probably the type of player that Mike Greer wants. Big, heavy, if he's a hardworking guy, even if he's a little bit slow, right? If he's the type of guy that's going to have the puck and he's not going to let it go in the corners.
You gave up a guy who wasn't even good enough to be on the Sharks.
Yes.
Defenseman, defensive core, for an NHL caliber. Granted, he's a fourth line player,
yeah,
but he's in the NHL. So you're trading an AHL player for an NHL player. And I guess a seventh round pick.
But yeah.
They already got it back. So, I don't want to say there's a win or a loss here in the trade. It doesn't really matter. I think it's just better for the Sharks. The Sharks are now, in a weird way, better to have him on the team.
They got a warm body at right wing that can justify LeBanc getting scratched.
There you go. A hardworking guy.
Yeah.
That I think we're going to probably like, because the Sharks are going to be terrible down this last stretch.
I think when you're 6'4", you said 212 or whatever it is, because that's what it said.
I was reading it from here.
What I was looking at said he was 230. So either way, he's a big boy, but I think he's a bigger boy than maybe what the Elite Prospects or whatever was saying about him. But, of course he's going to be slow. He's 6'4", two something plus, right? Somewhere between 210 and 230. That's a lot of weight to move. So, yeah, he's going to be slow, but my God, if he catches you in the corners.
Yeah, watch out.
And he's Russian, you know?
Yeah.
You know, he came from Detroit. Okay. So, he was watching some Cronwall hits. He saw some highlights in his day. I'm telling you, his kid, he's only 24 years old. That's the other thing. He's young. Mm-hmm. So he could potentially grow a little bit more and get better. This could be something good. Who knows? But all I do know is that Roddy Shimmick wasn't doing anything for the Sharks anyway. I mean, realistically. So this, to me, is a depth trade that really doesn't mean much. It was just kind of strange because we weren't really thinking of Shimmick at all.
Noah Clarkson said he's a Curtis Gabriel, Jonah Gadjevich type of player.
Yeah.
All right. So they have an enforcer now.
Yeah.
Basically.
I'm to protect, cool with that.
To protect the young guys that are going to be probably called up now to the Sharks team, because there's so much talent at his, well, not that there was a lot of talent there to begin with, but a lot that is now for sure gone.
Not gonna be working anymore.
Yeah, plus we're gonna see a lot of young guys like Musty, and even Will Smith. I'm still holding out. I think Will Smith's gonna sign his ELC as soon as the season is over, his Boston season is over.
Play a few games, it'll burn a year off his contract, and he'll be with the Sharks next season.
But if he plays less than 9 at the end of the season, it would slide and start technically next season, wouldn't it? I'm always confused on those.
No,
ones.
Because Bortolo did this. Bortolo signed.
But Will Smith is under 20.
Oh, I don't know.
That's how it slides. If they're under 20 and they play one season, it'll slide. I think Bortolo was older.
I feel like we might be mixing some rules there. But either way. I wouldn't be shocked to see him this season.
But I think we will see Musty. I think he gets some games. Yeah, because the he's playing for juniors and they're going to finish before, I believe, the NHL season ends. And he's already signed his ELC, so he's already...
But they would place him with the Barracuda. Out of juniors, you play out of the with the Barracuda then?
At the end of the season, yes.
They will. Well,
but
they
then
would
going into next season, if he goes back to juniors, he can't play the AHL. He has to play either juniors or the NHL.
Yeah, okay.
When the juniors team starts. Yeah. So that's why I think Musty's going to be on the team next year, because he has nothing left to prove at juniors. He's too big.
Yeah.
He's too dominant there. What's the point? He lasted a long time at camp this year, too, I think. So I keep talking about him. I'm so excited to see him. But to me, he's like a Ryan Klo type player. Like, we haven't seen one of these kinds of players in a while that could just really slam into guys and score goals. So I'm excited for that.
So like I said earlier, with Thompson being a offensively minded defenseman, but maybe a little bit of a liability on the defensive side, you would want to pair him with somebody that's defensively minded. And I brought up the Ahoychuk. Now, for those of you who are savvy and already know, Ahoychuk was traded today amongst all these other guys. There's a lot of activity.
On to the next
today.
One here, huh?
Yeah. Why? You want to talk about this one more?
No.
On to the next, baby. So, yeah, Ahoychuk gets traded. There he is.
I was queuing up Super Producer Jason.
Oh, you're queuing
going
up?
To the next
there
one.
There you go. On to the next. Nikita Ahoychuk. And to San Jose, we get a 2024 fifth round pick. There are the trade details. And that's it. I mean, it's just basically this one I didn't get. I didn't understand this one because he was playing NHL minutes.
Right.
Was he with the 1 year left on his deal? Is that what it was?
Well, either way, he would have been an RFA because he's so young.
Okay.
Right. I think Vegas. I was looking at Vegas. I think Calgary needed the depth.
Okay.
And I mean, they're kind of in a rebuilding mode too. Calgary is right now. I think they just liked what they saw from him. Is he from that area too?
But I liked what I saw from him too. So that's why I'm wondering.
I
did he have
was
1 year
okay.
left?
I didn't love him. I didn't hate him, but I didn't love him either.
Well,
1 year
it,
left, but he's an RFA. So they have him under control.
To put it the way I think Graham had said it, he's a player.
He's a player, right? So this is a player that was part of the Timo Meier trade that came from New Jersey.
Yeah.
So now you're flipping, you're getting another draft pick out of that kind of trade in a way, if you follow it that way. So was it a fifth rounder? Is that what it was?
Yeah, fifth round. I don't know. I feel like for a fifth, I would have rather just kept him, especially since you have his rights.
Yeah, but it's like Calgary wanted him. It could have been a depth chart thing. Like he's just getting passed up very soon by more players on
sure.
the Sharks.
Yeah.
So it's kind of giving him an opportunity to get playing time for Calgary.
Yeah, that's what Andy Manhier is saying. I read that Ahoychuk is slipping on the depth chart. Also possibly he was out of options and would have required waivers to be sent down.
That too. You don't want to lose him for nothing. So
yeah.
They got a fifth round pick out of it. And that is for, was that? Oh, this is the funky one that came from Chicago. So the terms on this trade, on this pick, is Chicago has to give the better of the pick because they hold multiple fifth round picks. They have to give the better one to the Sharks.
I like that.
Yeah.
It's good.
Right. Cool. You get to pick five extra spots.
Absolutely.
Okay. In the fifth round. It's very important. Maybe they'll pick a goalie in the fifth round.
It's not about whether or not you're going to get a better player. It's about the flex.
Right.
No. It has to be the better of the fifth round picks.
It's true.
Hey, maybe you can get 3/7 for it, Joe Will. Huh? Huh? Because it's the better one.
So the Sharks currently have 9 picks this draft.
Okay.
Going in the draft currently. Who knows, that could change between now and the draft
time. It will.
It also depends on Pittsburgh if they are going to retain that pick, their first round pick, which means we would get another one next year. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 picks next season, next draft in 2025.
Imagine if that Pittsburgh pick rolls over and then the next season, 2025, we have 3 first round draft picks.
Right. And I'm thinking Pittsburgh is not getting better.
They're going to get worse.
They're going to get worse. Yeah. And that could be, and if the Sharks are still terrible, which they probably will be next season, that could be 2 guys in the top 10 next season, possibly top 5, which would be amazing.
So here's a question for you then. If you're Pittsburgh and you think you're going to be worse next season,
exactly.
Do you give them the top 10, whatever? You know what I mean?
Keep this year's. At what, 9th right now? They're currently in 9th overall.
And so no, I'm saying if you're Pittsburgh, do you hand that 9th pick off?
That's what I'm saying.
Next season, yeah, okay.
That's what I'm saying. Like it's 9th overall. We're probably going to be worse than that next season. Or we will probably be a lottery team at that point next season.
Yeah.
And who's the next big top prospect coming in? I don't know.
I just want to go back real quick and acknowledge that Erik Karlsson has gone from one bottom feeder team to what he thought was going to be a contender, and they're a bottom feeder team now. I feel bad for the guy. Yeah, there is the crying emojis.
You didn't give me the Karlsson jersey. The Karlsson jersey.
I could have brought that down, too.
I don't mean to laugh, but
is it
like
Karlsson?
I don't know, because like when he was with Ottawa, they were good until they weren't.
But he was the only player on the team.
Yeah.
Kind of like how last year he was the only player doing anything on the Sharks.
Yeah. He has just, he's got a, you can't ask for tons of money and then go play for a team that's going to be really good because they have no money left. So, and again, we've said this multiple times, it's crazy how Vegas seems to be able to do it, and a lot of it has to do with the fact that other teams are retaining salary for them, so they're getting all these players, and then obviously the IR, you know, loophole thing that they're exploiting or whatever. But like, I just wanted to kind of go back and just, wow, poor Erik Karlsson just can't seem to catch a break with picking teams that were good, but like they're about to be on the decline, and then just signing with them for like long term. But it's what it is.
Oh, yeah. Oh well.
Last trade really here to talk about, and it's again kind of a nothing trade. It's with the Buffalo Sabres here. Now this is goaltender Devin Cooley. Welcome, goaltender Devin Cooley. The Sharks send the seventh round, 2025 seventh round selection to Buffalo, and they get Devin Cooley. Now, the cool thing about Devin Cooley, if you haven't heard, he actually is a Los Gatos native.
It's crazy.
And you know what's even crazier? I talked to my son, Jace, his coaches.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this guy, Logan Cooley, he was born in Los Gatos. And one of them goes, oh, yeah, we know him. Like, the goalie coach coached him. What?
When he was on the Junior Sharks?
Well, it wasn't Junior Sharks. Well, I mean,
something else.
So their team is the Cougars. I don't know exactly who he played for, but the goalie coach currently that works with the Cougars worked with him. And it's like, how cool is that, you know, that you have, like, these guys in the organization that worked with the kid who's, you know, pretty cool. Anyway, I just thought it was sweet. So, yeah, Logan Cooley,
he was
welcome.
Undrafted, and he's only got 1 year left on his contract. So we'll see if he sticks around to next season. But it is cool. And
again,
because
who are our goaltenders?
No, I know, but Blackwood is hurt.
Yes.
He's actually going to be playing with Crona as the starting goalies. Cooley and Crona, who have no business being in the NHL. And yet, here we are the last couple weeks of the season.
Okay, now realistically, Cooley's going to end up playing in the AHL. They're going to call up whoever else.
Who?
There's somebody
else. Who are
they going
to call up?
There's somebody else.
Oh, my God. Oh, this is going to get ugly. You saw Cronin the other
here,
night?
Yeah, here. Look at there.
Romanov?
Romanov. So Romanov actually got the first star tonight, I think, in the Barracuda game.
He still has hope. I think.
So
he's 24.
And then the other one is Mäki Niemi, who they were pretty high on when they first got him. Maybe not so much anymore. But those are two guys that, hey, they're going to get a shot whether they like it or not, right? We don't have anybody else. There's nobody else.
Yep.
Blackwood and Vanacek both out for the rest of the season.
I think Cooley will have to clear waivers. So I think Cooley's the one that stays and Crona's the one that's going to get bumped down. If they move anybody, because they don't want to lose them.
Do you think anybody's really going to pick up Cooley?
You never know. What if a goalie gets hurt and they need a backup? Somebody who has the one game of NHL experience that he has.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it's one game. I'm not trying to bag on him. I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
He's also 6'5". He's a monster. That's a big boy.
Well, the takeaway for me was he's from Los Gatos, and he was just cool.
I don't think Cooley.
It was Cooley.
Cooley is cool.
It was just Cooley.
Oh, there it is. There it is, the dad joke.
I don't mind the Chief Sharks tickets, but it would be nice to see the team win more often. No!
That's true. There's a benefit.
No, suckest player.
Cheap Sharks tickets for the rest of the season.
That's good, yeah.
That's not bad.
I don't
bad.
Mind that, yeah.
We're looking at the positives here with the Fin Factor. Always look on the bright side of life.
Yeah. I think we're only allowed to sing three bars of that before they, you know.
I'm a lumberjack.
Yeah. Okay, so we've gone through all of the trades that had happened, okay? There were two of them yesterday. That was Duclair and there was something else, wasn't there? There's one other trade? Yesterday, I mean.
That was a minor one. I can't
remember.
Okay,
so Anyway, I'm trying to remember which ones were which day, but it doesn't matter because we just went through all of them anyway, and we're done talking about that. So hopefully you guys put in the chat how you're feeling and you're able to talk with each other and provide some group therapy. Awesome. Well done, community. There you go. But I think now we've got the Mike Greer clip to kind of sum up and round off everything that we were just talking about and get his words. So I don't know, Aaron, if you want to set this up in any which way.
Sure. After that, Hurdle getting traded, I think that was a big shock to a lot of Sharks fans and people. So they did a press conference. So this is Mike Greer kind of talking about the status of Sharks and how he understands that it is painful. So here's Mike Greer in his own words.
Yeah, I mean, I think the fans in general, I think they're smart. It's a smart fan base. I think they have an idea of what's going on here. When we got here a couple years ago, we knew it was going to be something that wasn't going to change overnight. It was going to happen over several seasons. And, you know, these are some of the decisions we knew from day one we might possibly have to make. So, you know, I understand if there's some, you know, frustration from the fan side, but I think there's also positives to it with the prospects we have coming. Adding this pick, give us two first round picks in 3 years in a row. You can almost say you had three last year with Edstrom being a first round pick. So I think it's all about a little bit of taking a step back to move forward. And it's part of the process. It's going to be, it is kind of painful. And I think we kind of knew that's what happened in the cycle we are as an organization. But I also think that there's good days ahead with the players that we have coming.
So basically just kind of echoing the same sentiments that, you know, we know that it's going to be painful. We know that Mike Greer had talked to Hasso saying, look, this is the plan. Mm-hmm. It's going to be it's not something we're going to turn around in a year, right? Doug Wilson would have gone out and traded another first to get another high-profile player to try to be competitive now. And he did that so many times over, and then it just stopped working, right? Yeah. And so to fix that, we need to scrap that whole plan and start from fresh, right? You want to call it a rebuild, whatever you want to call it, and that's exactly what it is. And, of course, Hasso had to have been on board with that because Mike Greer has the job, right? So he knew ahead of time that this is what's going to be. And maybe the fans didn't know. Some fans are... I don't want to say bandwagon, but maybe some fans just don't get how it works, right?
There's so many like different buckets of fans. There's fans that go, you should torch the thing down, right? Just trade everybody and get rid of everyone. There's fans that go, those are my favorite players. Please don't trade them. I love them.
Yeah.
Like Hurdle, especially because he's such a great guy. Then there's other fans that are like, you're not doing enough. Please, you're not getting enough on your returns.
Yeah.
Why did you trade him? Why didn't you trek with this team and get this player? Like that kind of thing. Like there's so many, you're never going to appease everybody ever. There's many different ways to do it. This is why I kind of want to follow what Chicago is doing versus what the Sharks are doing, because Chicago did do the fire sale to get Bedard basically last season. And then they even did more. There's like nothing left there. And then they had the rash of injuries during this season in Chicago, like almost worse than the Sharks did.
Yeah.
They had to claim two or three guys off of waivers just to have warm bodies in both their minor league and at the NHL club level, because they were just so inundated with injuries, but not the guys that were somewhat NHL caliber players were out. I mean, the Sharks were kind of in the same boat if you think about it, but at least the Sharks had a little bit more, in my opinion, had more NHL caliber guys. Like, sure, Hoffman's not lighting it up like he used to, but at least you can kind of throw him in the NHL lineup most nights and not have to worry about it.
And you know, you bring up Hoffman, and I saw a comment in there saying, I thought Barbanov was going to get shipped. Yeah, you know what? There were a few guys that we were a little surprised that didn't get moved, and I thought Barabanov would have been one of them. I was hoping Hoffman would have been one of them. He hasn't exactly had, you know, an earth-shattering year, and he hasn't really sold himself to anybody who might be a contender, right?
Right.
But I don't know. If you're looking for, like, third-line scoring winger, right? I mean, even on the Sharks, Hoffman's playing on the fourth line recently, so But, I mean, if you were looking for that guy that if you put him with somebody who can get him the puck and you can just rely on his shot, right, maybe there's a team out there. There is no team out there.
Maybe hot dog-loving Phil Kessel. I wish the Sharks signed instead of Hoffman. Or I guess Hoffman came in a trade, but still.
Yeah. But, yeah, so there were some guys that, you know, I would have liked to see get. I mean, Granlund, he's a great player, but he could have brought something back into Toronto. He has 2 years left, so maybe next season, right? But yeah, guys like Kevin LeBanc, I think was untradeable. We talked about him ad nauseum, and I just don't think that anybody would have taken him anyway.
They probably would have taken him with retention.
Yeah,
but you're not going to get the return that you got on the retention that you got with Hurdle. Absolutely, so that's a better deal.
Yeah, I think so too. So LeBanc not going, Hoffman not going, Barabanov not going. Those were kind of like the big. Like head scratches, like, oh man, I guess that nobody could find a room for, maybe not LeBanc, but nobody could find room for a Hoffman, really. Like, that seems like that could have went down. Maybe there was some talks about it and it just didn't happen. Justin Bailey, I'm glad he didn't get moved because I like the guy and I want him to stick around. I think he's earned another contract with the Sharks. Mm-hmm. I would love to see him stick around.
What do you think about Ferraro? Ferraro was another one.
That was the other one, was Mario Ferraro. There was so much talk early on about Mario Ferraro was going to get moved. And then nothing happened, right? And we end up shipping out guys like Šimek and Ochojcuk. Go figure.
I thought Ruta might have, too.
Yeah, Ruta would have made sense to me. Yeah. A guy that brings some veteran presence. You put him on your, you know, the top six, if you will. Your sixth, the third pairing defenseman, right? Guy that brings some Stanley Cup experience to a Cup contender. Obviously, that's where you're trading him to. Mm-hmm. Somebody who's going to be vying for a position in the playoffs there. I would have thought he would have been a clear-cut target for a team to say, you know what, we want a guy just like this to help with our Stanley Cup run, but apparently not the case.
Oh, Cunning was another one.
Cunning was linked to Edmonton early on, right?
Once I saw those trades Edmonton was doing, I was like, it doesn't look good because I think, for one, they're kind of running out of assets to trade back to San Jose. So they probably weigh their options of Cunning or whoever. I don't remember who they went with, but... that's probably most likely what happened.
What do we do with Cunning, who's going to be an RFA next year? Because I read he could be trade bait, but I like Cunning.
Oh, they'll probably sign him. Qualify him?
I think
so. Sign him? Yeah. I don't know why they wouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, he's not exactly a guy that is AHL caliber and you're plugging him in, right? He's an NHL player.
He's a guy that Greer specifically targeted
and
got last season. So, and I like his game. I'm happy with it. I don't think there's no way he would get sent down. He was injured and it kind of took him a little while to get back because he had knee surgery, but I think he's fantastic.
And Peter St. John saying there's a reason why nobody wants those guys. If you're marginally skilled and not really producing this year, who wants to bring that guy in? Yes, absolutely, Peter St. John. However, the saving grace for those guys is they can say, hey, man, I'm playing on the San Jose Sharks. Give me somebody to play with, right? And you'll see. I've got a track record before I was with the Sharks. You can take a look at that. You know, they have a little bit of a resume. You know, I feel like if a team were to throw, I don't know, fifth, sixth for Hoffman, do you think we turn it down? I don't know that we turn it down.
No.
Right?
No.
A fifth or a sixth for Hoffman? And that's not much to give up for a guy that you might be able to scratch any night, but, again, but also can plug in.
$4.5 million that you'd have to be.
Well, there you go.
That's the problem.
That's the problem.
But he's a UFA, so he's going to be gone. There's going to be a lot of cap space next season. Already.
Yeah.
Already into next season, right?
Just look at... Okay, so he's got cap-friendly up right now. If you just look at the forward group, the this season, what the cap hit is for the forward group, and then next season,
next
just
season,
taking those ones off.
Next season right now, the healthy forwards is $12 million because there's the injured reserve
ones. Well, like right now, it's what, $30 million in forwards?
Not even. It's 12 plus 15, so $27 million. I'm counting more than that because there's goalies in here and defensemen. It's really just Couture. So 8 plus the 12, it's $20 million right now.
Yeah, that's for next
locked
season.
Locked up for forwards, just forwards.
For next season, though.
For next season.
Yeah, I'm saying right now,
we've got
$30 million worth of forwards. Next season, that drops to just $12
million. I mean, 20.
8. Oh, because Couture. Yeah. Okay, so 20. That's $10
million. Yeah.
Off. That comes off the books, just forwards.
Plus the 8 that you just got rid of with Hurdle.
Yeah.
Mostly 8. They retained some of it.
And then with the defenseman, if you do that again here, so the defenseman, it's currently $15 million, and that's only going to drop to $14 million. Most of that thanks to Mark Edward Plastic's $7 million.
Yeah, it'll actually go back up to 15 with Benning, assuming that's he's true. Healthy.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, we're scraping by here for – we're no longer worried about the cap. Yeah. We're worried about the basement.
The floor.
So, yeah, the floor. We're going to be like Arizona taking on contracts just to have to yeah. reach the floor. So, yeah, I'm kind of excited to see – I mean, someone posted about that too, about what free agents are going to come in because they're going to have to sign some people.
Yeah.
And who knows, they could maybe have some trades going into the draft, going into the draft or during the draft of bringing some other players in. Probably a bad contract. The Sharks are now Arizona. So they are taking on some bad contracts and reclamation projects so that they can get out some assets.
Still have more people going to the tank than can fit into Arizona's arena.
The Barracuda Arena.
Yeah.
Still have more. Attendance was 10,000 or whatever it was, right? Mullet 6, Arena.
6,000. But yeah.
No.
The Sharks on Tuesday night was 6,000.
No, it was 10,000.
No.
Are you kidding me? 6,000?
No. Yeah. That's a Tuesday night.
Somebody fact check that. Somebody fact check that.
Yeah, it was 6,200, I think.
Are you saying tickets sold or butts and seats?
Butts and seats.
Okay.
Tickets sold was 7,500.
It's still more than Mullet Arena can hold. So even if they fill it to capacity.
Sharks Oregon is really excited about Mikko Rantanen and possibly signing with the Sharks because he'll be a UFA in 2 seasons.
Oh, okay. In 2 seasons.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, in 2 seasons, I could see other teams, I'm sorry, other high-end players going, you know, San Jose is looking pretty strong, you know. Mm-hmm. They've got some good young guys that are actually playing now, right?
Right.
So I could see some free agents saying, you know what, I wouldn't mind taking a shot at San Jose.
He'll only be 29 at that point.
Mikko?
Yeah. Wow. It's crazy.
That is crazy. He's
been in the league for so long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't know if there's, we're not going to do any of the games, by the way, that were from, this past week yeah. because we're still going to have our Monday show. I'm assuming it's on Monday.
Yes.
Yeah, Monday show. And we'll talk about games exclusively. If you'd like to reference anything about trades during that show, we'll just point you back to this, episode here. So you can take a look at what we were talking about right now. Anyway, so yeah, for games and whatnot, we're not going to bring any of that stuff up. So this is essentially the end.
Man, the game tomorrow is going to be weird.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Hurdle was already out of the lineup because he was hurt. But that doesn't really change. I know.
Out versus gone, two different things. Even if he's not, you don't see him on the ice, it's just, you know.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I get it.
It's like Joe, when he's painting his models... And he paints behind the thing that you can't yeah. see. It's that he paints the hand. If there's a shield right here, you'll never see the paint on the hand. But Joe knows.
Joe knows.
And it's like with Hurdle not on the ice, it's not because he's just out. Because he's gone. And we will know. God. It's a sad, sad day.
It's like he died.
It's a sad day in Sharks territory.
What did Devereaux think of the trades from Grandizer? It's a good question. Ooh. I don't know if Devereaux's on right now. He's usually on.
I'll ask
we
him.
Can sit and wait for Everett to respond. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, I guess, do you want to go through some more comments?
Well, I mean, next year, everyone's talking about they should sign Patty and Jumbo again to another one-year contract, but next year is the Jumbo number retirement,
yeah.
which they announced was going to be next season. Yeah. So I think he's going to copy what Jagr did and do the on-ice, the warm-up, skate out with a warm-up with the team and be out on the ice. I can see that.
Yeah.
And I can see everyone wearing beards, like beards, and everyone wearing a 19 Thornton jersey. Yep. So that'll be fun. There's a sellout right there. See, we will have some sellouts.
Yeah, yeah.
One.
I think that's got to be a giveaway where you give away the beard.
It also depends on who's going to be on the team next season. If we see Will Smith, I think we'll see a lot more butts and seats because people are going to want to see that high end draft pick or the next high end draft pick from this draft, who knows where they'll be picking.
So let's go through the names one more time so that everybody can maybe leave our therapy session
sure.
with a little bit of inspiration.
The names of
the guys that are maybe not currently on the team, but that we're very much looking forward to being with the Sharks in the next year or two.
Okay.
So Will Smith being one. Eklund's already on the team, but I mean, playing alongside a guy like Will Smith could be a lot of fun. Quentin Musty is another one. So those are just some of the top forwards. Of course, whoever we draft this season at the draft, hopefully a guy like Celebrini, right? That could be very, very interesting. What other high-end Sharks forwards or defense do we have? Because we just grabbed this, what's his name, Thompson, right? Right.
That could be one.
Mook Madulin is a guy that is playing in the AHL, but should probably already be playing.
I bet we see him make the team for sure out of camp.
Next season.
Yeah. Next season, for sure. That's going to be a good young guy. Maybe Jack Thompson. Maybe. We'll see. That's the new one that just came in. Maybe we see Romanoff make that jump as the backup into next season. Although we already have. Maybe not. Nah, they're going to want to give him. Vanacek. Yeah, I forgot. We have both.
You're going to want to give those guys an opportunity to compete.
I don't know. There's Luca, not a whole lot still, but
Luca Cagnoli?
Cannoli.
Is that
Cagnoni? Another guy that's not
Cagnoli.
Cagnoli. Luca Cagnoli. What kind of Italian?
That's very Italian.
Delicacies. Yeah. Are you going to bring this guy at practice?
Are you kidding me?
Holy cannoli! Brother Cagnoli.
Oh, how many Randy Hahn call-outs are we going to hear? Holy cow.
Nick is saying 74-point D-man is Luka.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that.
You know, it's very interesting. The Sharks have grabbed quite a few guys that are offensively gifted at the blue line. You would think that they would be maybe a little bit scared off.
Nah. They need one of them to make it.
They got like four of them now.
Well, make it to the NHL.
Yeah.
Like, stick at the NHL.
Yeah.
It's a lot of shots to take there.
Oh, look at this. Joe's got Joe Sharabati. I apologize for butchering your name, Joe. UFAs for 2024. Stamkos, Gensel, Bertuzzi, Shea, Marchessault, Zadorov, Tarasenko, Henrik, Teravainen, Varana. I know I'm missing a lot, but that's what it somewhat looks like.
Funny, Tarasenko met with Greer in San Jose over the summer. Mm. I don't know if you remember that.
I do.
He was being shopped around, or he was shopping around, I should say. And he ended up going to Ottawa, I believe.
I think it was Ottawa.
Over the Sharks. Yeah. But there is a relationship there, so who knows? I wouldn't mind having Tarasenko.
How old's Tarasenko? Is he over 30?
Yeah, I believe so. What?
Well, then he's on the decline.
Well, I don't think he's in the future, but he'll certainly help the Sharks, and he's 32.
It's just exactly his hurdle.
Right, I get it.
Okay. Right, I get it.
He's not a building block. He's not going to be like...
Yes, absolutely, yeah.
And he's a winger. He's not a centerman.
Yes, could happen.
Right. But he's
Hurdle's a winger, too.
He's a scoring
Until
winger.
He became a center.
He's going to be like, he would be the staple on the power play.
Yeah.
Tarasenko with his shot.
All right.
Cagnoli is a top point scoring D-man in the
WHL. We got to play the hurdle clip. Grandizer, unfortunately, Super Producer Jason is still working on adding clips to the show because, again, we've got a new set and new everything else, so he's got a lot of things to kind of reprogram, and that's one of the things that's kind of been pushed a bit to the side as everything else has been the priority for the set. So sooner than later, I'm sure, but we'll get that stuff back and working again, and then we'll be able to play those clips. Oh, we Whoa. Have a light on. Oh, my God, we have a light on. So this is a perfect time to end the show, perhaps.
What was that about?
That was him.
It's like the sun coming in my face.
You did it on purpose, didn't you? Oops. Okay. We good?
I tried to play
Can't
the
see.
Can't see. It's, again, perfect time. Aaron can no longer see. So we're going to end it here. Hey, again, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Appreciate you guys being here, being in the chat, giving us all and each other, really, the group therapy that we all need today. Again, the hurdle trade really took a lot of people by surprise, us included. We did not have this one on the radar at all. If you remember me saying, by the way, I had said there's two guys on this team that I think I wouldn't trade, and Hurdle and Eklund were the two.
What did I say?
Anybody's tradable. Yeah, I know. Well,
At the right price.
That's the wrong price if you ask me, but you know what? I'm not running this team in my career, so we will just see how this pans out over the next six seasons. And if you are not subscribed, you should, because six seasons from now, we're going to revisit this episode. And so what better way to do that than to get an email notification saying, hey, come and check out this Spin Factor and the things that they have to say about the hurdle trade from 6 years ago. That's something that can be yours to watch. And so if you would like to, please hit that, but also hit the notification bell so that you know when we are going live. Again, you get that notification. And Super Producer Jason just put on there, if you'd like the stream, please do hit the thumbs up button. It does help us quite a bit. You can also support the show several different ways. One of them is on your screen right now. Visit thefinfactor.com. Check out the support the show link, and there's a ton of stuff in there for you guys to purchase. If you'd like hats, t-shirts, water bottles, stickers, sweatshirts, we're out of fanny packs. Do we have socks and boxers? And Kleenex still? No? Okay. Check for the earplugs. I'm sure we have those still. Like, what? Earplugs? What? You can also support the show with Super Chat function or Venmo at the Fin Factor. Either one of those. Put a comment in there and we will read it off during the next show because we're done. So we will look for that. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the people?
No, thanks. And, thanks for commiserating with us and joining us for the show. It was quite a shock today. It was a lot going on.
Yeah.
12 o'clock today.
Yeah.
All those trades came in real fast.
That's crazy to me, too, is that it wasn't like yesterday and throughout the day.
Right.
Or like at the beginning of the day, and then it was like at noon. And then things just kept trickling in. I'm going, isn't the trade deadline over? Like, my goodness.
You always got to give it a couple hours.
Yeah, I guess it's got to be a couple of hours for it to actually... Yeah, anyway. So, again, thank you guys so much. We hope that this has been helpful for you. It's therapeutic for us every week. So we like passing that benefit on to you guys. So, for Super Producer Jason, I'm Paul.
And I'm Aaron.
And we will see you guys...
Monday.
On Monday. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in. If you like this episode, check out our other content, especially interviews. You can interact with us directly through social media at The Fin Factor and on Instagram at Fin Factor. And don't forget to join our live streams on YouTube.
Visit our website at thefinfactor.com, where you'll find all of our episodes as videos or podcasts. You'll also find our exclusive merchandise to help support our show.